Hey, chiropractors, welcome to Modern Chiropractic Mastery with your host, Dr. Kevin Christie, where we discuss the latest in marketing, business, and professional growth with some of the leading experts in the industry. Welcome to our show this week. We have Jeff Moore, who I'm excited to have on. He's a physical therapist from the Institute of Clinical Excellence, otherwise known as PT on Ice. And also has a franchise model of physical therapy clinics. And we dive into the topic of leadership. And Jeff's definitely a dynamic guy and brings a lot of great insights into leadership and leading a team, leading your patients, leading your family, even if you apply some of these principles. And it's not your kind of cliche stuff and your charismatic leader type of things, but he has a lot of good insights on what it takes to be an impactful leader. And you can get better. And I think that's a big part of this is you can get better. And we have a great conversation on some of the things that they're doing in the physical therapy world and how they're changing the model in a sense and in how they lead other providers and then teach those providers to lead their patients and their teams. And we dive into that. And it was a very fun conversation. We had a great time, I thought. And I know I learned a lot from it. I thought he had some really good answers to questions. And I've discussed this topic quite a few times over the 8 years of this podcast. And I thought leaving this interview, I was better for it and definitely heard different takes on what leadership is. So this isn't your typical conversation about leadership skills and styles. So I think you'll get a lot out of that. So without further ado, here is my interview with Jeff Moore. All right. Welcome to the show, Jeff. I really appreciate your time today and excited to dive into leadership in private practice. But before we do, I want to set the context for our audience. So tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll dive into your company and what you guys do.
Yeah, you bet, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado. Kind of been a physical therapist for the past 12, 15 years in varying levels of focus on that part of my career as other things have kind of grown. You know, we started the teaching company in 2012. So that'd be, you know, over a dozen years now. It's called the Institute of Clinical Excellence, and it trains a wide variety of rehab providers, PTs, OTs, chiropractors, physicians. We have coaches that come to some of our fitness athlete courses. So kind of a broad range of targets there. And as that got busier, like 2017, 2018 really started taking off, you know, where we were doing multiple courses a weekend and getting a lot of traction. We found that a lot of the folks that we were training weren't able to implement what we were teaching because their clinics, you know, didn't have a squat rack or a run of kettlebells. We do a lot of fitness focused stuff. And that was a problem. It was kind of depressing. I mean, these folks would reach out and say, "Hey, I love the courses, but I can't do this stuff." And we said, "Well, okay." In 2019, we decided, let's just start opening clinics, you know, and that way, if someone is in an environment where they can't do this stuff, but they want to, we can create homes for them. And that was kind of the genesis of Onward Physical Therapy. We put the first one in Charlotte in 2019. I think we have 42 locations now across the country. Again, a lot of it comes from folks will take ice physio courses, get really fired up and take a few classes and be like, "Man, I really want to practice like that." Then they'll reach out and say, "Can I jump into one of these Onwards?" So that they kind of grow each other, I guess, from that perspective. And nowadays, Kevin, that's what I do. I spend time mentoring clinicians at Onward and then mentoring faculty over on the ICE side. I'm not out there actively teaching anymore. I go to a lot of the classes and give notes and try to make sure that our curriculum is synthesized well together and symbiotic across no matter what course you take. And day in and day out, that's where I spend my time.
I love it. And, you know, I'm sure 42 locations and also a teaching program is real easy to lead.
Yeah, nothing to it. Nothing to it. Every day is calm and no issues.
Yeah, exactly. If there weren't, you'd have problems, right? If there's no issues, then you know you're not doing enough.
That's right.
Are these franchises locations, the Onward?
Yeah, so we started off in a licensing model and then we converted. Actually, we're actually actively locking up right now the very end of that process. You know, we can offer a lot more in a franchise model. You know, with a licensing model, there's some state-by-state restrictions on kind of how much support that you can actually leverage. And so realizing, boy, strength of size can really do a lot for these locations, it just made sense for us to convert over. And so we went from a licensing model over to a franchise model.
Perfect. I just want to tease out a couple of aspects of each company, and then we'll dive into the leadership topic, but from the teaching company, what are just some of the pieces of equipment you'd love a clinic to have? You mentioned squat rack and kettlebells. What are some of the other things there?
Yeah, those are big ones right there. You can do a lot with a squat rack and a good set of kettlebells across all ages and stages, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how ICE is designed. Like, we've got certifications for a fitness forward approach for every age and stage. So whether you want to work with older adults or the pregnant and postpartum individual and athlete or the recreational fitness, we have a series of courses that develop your skill set to really over deliver for that population. And the two things you just mentioned, I mean, if you get a really nice squat rack and you get a good run of kettlebells and you've got some rubber flooring where you can drop these things and really get to work, I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. Beyond that, we need some level of cardio equipment, a thing like an echo bike. A rower is a bonus, but the echo bike or the assault bike goes a long ways to be able to get the heart rate up and do interval training. And it tends to be a very approachable piece of equipment compared to, like, if you're looking at every age and stage, the treadmill is probably not as applicable as maybe something like an echo bike. And then a really nice manual therapy table, because we do a lot of body work, a lot of cupping, a lot of needling, a lot of manipulation, mobilization. People need to be comfortable, and as you probably know better than I do, really be able to work around that person's body and get the job done from a hands-on perspective.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I first heard about your training programs around all this because Dr. Ashley Jordan, who is one of our associate coaches for our company, and then also her partner Brittany, they talked about, because they went and started going, and they've done a lot of clinical things, right? So it wasn't like this is the first thing they've been to. And so they've been to a lot of different types of clinical aspects. And they said they never come back more fired up than when they come to one of your, I think she calls it ICE. Is that an acronym you guys use? Right.
Yep.
And that's for the Institute of Clinical Education.
Clinical excellence. Yep.
Excellence. Perfect. Yeah. And so ICE, she calls it, and she's like, they're just fired up when they come back from that. And so we were chatting about it, and then we kind of dove into the idea and conversation around leadership with you, because, you know, it takes a level of leadership to be able to have other coaches do a lot of the coaching, like you mentioned too, but then also to replicate what you have in the clinic. Give us a little bit of, with Onward, I'm assuming it's physical therapy based, but is there any other, what is it, like a front desk person, physical therapist, maybe a PTA? Trainer, what are some of the essentials of what these clinics are like?
Yeah. That's a great question, because when we first started this, you know, we thought, you know, we don't need to do this, right? It's kind of a passion project. And the whole idea was, what does perfect look like to us, right? So meaning the amount of time with patients, the clinical environment, the way they interact from the moment they see your first Instagram post or hop onto your website to the moment that, you know, they're feeling like $1 million, like that journey, how do we perfect as many time points along that as possible? And for us, at least for now, the model is very, very simple. There, it's one-on-one with a physical therapist for 60 minutes, and there is no front desk person, right? The beautiful thing now, we use Jane as our EMR, our electronic medical records. Super, super streamlined. I've known the Jane founders and friends over there for years up there in Canada. They do an incredible job. But what they allow is for there not to be any sort of interface or necessary interface with, you know, we don't bill any insurance, right? So we're 100% cash based across the board. So no third party payers, that includes federal. So it's literally a 100% no exceptions cash based clinic, which again, we thought we want to create a model that is where we think the future is going to land. I'm not trying to say that other models don't work or shouldn't work or be utilized. We're just trying to look way out there and be like, what can we do to prove the future, if you will? And to us, it was a one-on-one, 100% cash-based, completely patient-provider interaction only. We have no assistance, no techs, or any other disciplines.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And obviously with technology now, it makes it a lot easier. We're very familiar with Jane. They've definitely, they're big into the chiropractic space as well. And so there's a lot of capabilities there. And then, you know, now with certain technologies like two-way texting, and obviously there's softwares out there where you store the credit card one time and you do that. Even if you run a recurring revenue model, that's easy now with technology. One of the things I'm excited about as it keeps on going is I keep on diving into the AI stuff like everybody else. It's almost becoming cliche, right? There's people diving into the AI stuff, and then there's people like really actually diving into the AI stuff. I'm kind of diving into the AI stuff, but the thing that fascinates me is the idea of the AI agents. And I'm not sure if you've looked into that much, but I know like LinkedIn founders talking a lot about it, or Salesforce founders, sorry, And just the idea that at some point we may have these AI agents that you would train on your systems and your, you know, model, just like you would a human, and they just do all the stuff for you, essentially.
Yeah. I have not dove deep. I certainly keep an eye out. I am curious what folks are doing. You know, our system is logistically light, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, we see 5 or 6 people a day. Our documentation is simple because we're not justifying anything to insurance companies. We're just keeping track of folks and making sure that we know what we're doing and obviously have a record ready if it's ever needed. But because of all of that stuff and no front desk person, no insurance to bill, our like logistical demands are quite low at Onward. Yeah. Our interpersonal demands are incredibly high, right? Like everything is in person. The follow-ups are consistent and thorough, and there's a lot of them. We tweak programming. There's a lot of hands-on with the person, but very little like logistical busy work, if you will.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think that's something that obviously allows for more margin, right? That's always the killer of a lot of healthcare industry models, whether it's the hospital or a private practice. And so you're kind of able to have better margin, which is nice. Because we've all seen them, you know, clinics that generate 100K a month, but spend 99K a month.
Right.
The saying that I love, and I think it's Wes Gape, is it's volume is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is reality, right?
Ooh.
And he came up with that one. I steal it from it often, and it's just true, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think clinic owners and doctors need to start looking at ways where we can streamline things so that we can maintain a level of margin. Let's take a break from today's episode and announce our first sponsor. This is going to be Propel Marketing and Design. I've known Darcy Sullivan for years. We've worked hand in hand on my websites. I don't trust anybody else to do this search engine optimization. She does a great job. There's so much to it. A lot of the lingo and the words are beyond my comprehension, but it's just amazing work that she does. And if you're really going to get results with Google, you have to make sure your website is SEO optimized. And I really don't want you doing it yourself as a chiropractor. So you just have to have this type of stuff done. And if you're looking to get more organic online traffic that pulls in new patients, Propel Marketing and Design is currently offering chiropractors who listen to this podcast a free SEO website review. The free review will help you uncover methods that will improve your website and boost your search engine visibility. Head over to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor and schedule your free SEO website review. You won't regret it. She gets great results. Your website needs this. Your search results need this. Head on over there to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor to get your free SEO website review. I want to dive in. You mentioned a phrase or term I really like there, which was interpersonal demand. And I want to, maybe that ties into my kind of first question on leadership for you. But over your years of working with a lot of different types of providers and different scenarios, what are some of the, and you may start out with that interpersonal skill set, but some of the qualities you see from your doctors and physical therapists as far as leading these businesses and these practices? What are some of the qualities that you see in these effective leaders?
Well, like you said, we're in the business of humans, right? So the interpersonal thing is a non-negotiable. I mean, if you can't work well with people and build relationships, not only your patients, but in the community, you're a non-starter, right? So I mean, I think like that's baseline across the board that has to be there. But when you look at what makes people exceptional, you know what I've found? And like you said, the data set's pretty thick now, watching providers try to be successful. It's the people that themselves believe in what they're selling the most. Yeah. That's the number one thing. So like people call me all the time, like, hey, what are the criteria for, you know, becoming an Onward clinician? And I'm like, well, you know, you got to get some ICE training. You know, that's kind of our standardized system and yada, yada, yada. But what it really comes down to is how much do you actually believe that putting fitness on somebody is the elegant solution to chronic disease and most of the plagues that are sweeping across this nation? Like, how much do you really believe it? Do you live this way? Like, are you about it every single day? Like, are you leading from the front? Are you in the gym? Are you getting other people into the gym with you? Are your kids in the gym with you? Do you believe that this solution is urgent and awesome? And can you show me a track record of that over the past 10 years? Like, people that believe that, they will infect other people with that belief. But if they don't, they won't be able to sell. They'll find ways to kind of eke by, but they'll never get into that flow state where they're selling naturally, because all they're doing is exuding what they sincerely believe to be true, authentic.
Yeah, that conviction is so priceless. And I think a lot of times there's some people that are able to override what they believe and have a level of conviction or kind of snaky that way. But I think what we see in a lot, our niche of chiropractic is the evidence-based chiropractor. That's who we are. That's our audience. That's who we work with. And a lot of them do struggle, I believe. They kind of get in the morose of the evidence and they want to cross their T's and dot their I's on every inch of evidence before they will think that it's something they want to provide for someone. And I think they get in their own way a little bit. And I'm not saying they should believe or have conviction in something that they don't believe in, but I think that's something that a lot of the chiropractors that I talk to and see that are struggling is they haven't sold themselves on what they are and what they do. And like you said, being about that, and ultimately that just permeates the whole office, the team members, the patients, and they wonder why they can't get buy-in from everybody.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I've seen different versions of that, over the years, where that belief is incomplete. Where you see it the most complete is people that have lived that way, but also people that have banged themselves up living that way, right? Like, you start going to competitions, whether it's CrossFit or Hyrox, whatever you're doing, you're going to get tweaks and sprains. Well, if you smoke your own dope, for lack of a better term, and you go and see a high quality manual therapist, right? You get manipulation, mobilization, soft tissue, and you get some great exercise prescription, and it helps you. And you feel like, dude, this stuff's real. Like, the more that you challenge yourself, bump into hurdles, find ways around it, get back up on top, the more you go through this process, when you're looking at that patient saying, we're going to get through this, that has a completely different level of meaning to that patient when they can see in your eyes, like, because I've done that. I've been here before, and I'm going to hold your hands as we move forward. It's just so much different.
Yeah. So when you're a question I keep on wrestling with, and maybe you have some insight on it, is if you find that person that's got a lot of good skill sets, personable, good bedside manner, good person, let's say they're intrinsically motivated, clinically they're good, they got all the table stakes there, but you just see there's a little bit of a hole in that believing in what they're offering or that conviction. Is there a certain level where you say, I think we can really onboard this person, train them? We're going to start with some of the results, the evidence. I know you got with ICE, that probably helps. Is there a start of it where you dive in, let's just inch them up a little bit more on the clinical side, or talk through them on why this stuff does work or anything like that? Or is there a point of no return where you say they got a lot of skill set, but they don't have that belief in it?
That's a great term you just used, that point of no return, because that person's not a no, right? I mean, there's a lot of the things you just said. I mean, there's a lot of buckets that are filled there.
Yep.
Sometimes those people just need the level of mentorship around them where they can hit some real home runs, because sometimes that clinician is either newer or you are moving into a more effective model from one that maybe wasn't quite as effective. And if they have a clinician around them that can do case reviews every other week, that can come alongside and offer some insight to get a patient from saying, I think I do feel a bit better, to, doc, whatever we're doing together, I've made more progress doing this than anything I've done in the past 5 years. You can only hear that second one so many times until you believe. But sometimes it requires a mentor who already has that gift to get a little bit more of a high touch environment around that therapist, to get them a few reps where they hear that. And now all of a sudden the snowball's rolling down the hill.
Jeff, that was one of the best answers to one of the worst questions I've had on the show in 8 years. I phrased that question in all kinds of weird ways and you tease it out perfectly. So I thank you for saving me on that one. Let's take a short break for one of our great sponsors, TrackStat. It is a new type of software plugin for your EHR that combines patient communication, marketing, automation, and statistics with patient and employee tracking. Built by chiropractors for chiropractors, it shows your team what to focus on each day. See patient visit habits, missing information, unpaid bills, insurance collection visit average, and more. Great visibility of data so you can focus on filling your office with your best patients. When you can see what your staff and patients are doing or not doing and take action accordingly, your profits naturally grow. Take TrackStat for a test drive in your office with our free trial. Not a techie? No problem. We can help. To get started on your free trial, visit TrackStat.org and watch the demo. That is TrackStat.org.
Yeah, you know, the mentorship thing is a big one. And I, as you were talking, I was like, you know what? That's really what kind of saved me early on when I was in chiropractic school. I don't know how familiar you are with chiropractic school, but it can be a mixed bag. And, you know, I really liked the school I went to, but that first year I was kind of going down, like not really finding my traction of the type of chiropractic that I wanted to practice. I was an athlete growing up. Then I went to Florida State and was exercise phys and on the strength conditioning program there. And I wanted to work with athletes. And when I got to chiro school, I kind of just wasn't finding that. But then I found a mentorship within Motion Palpation Institute, and a couple of the docs there, Mark King, Brett Winchester at the time, and Corey Campbell. And now they're still at it 20 years later, which has been cool. But that gave me confidence and some conviction. I still kind of sucked when I graduated, right? Like we all do. We got to get a lot better. But I knew that I had been exposed to some doctors that really knew what they were doing. And when I had them work on me, I felt such a level of difference, and it was great. And that was a key thing to us. So I think a take home here for our audience is, if you find yourself in that kind of that chasm of like, look, you're a good doctor and you're a good person and you got all these qualities that are good, you're just not getting across that chasm into what you're talking about with that conviction and really believing in what you're doing. And maybe it is mentorship that can help you. Maybe it's mentorship clinically. Maybe it's mentorship leadership wise or understanding business a little bit. Because I think that's obviously what your Onward solves for these PTs, is that they don't have to worry about so much of the business side of things, which is great, I'm sure. And a lot of these doctors listening to our audience, to our episode today, they are in the morose of clinical and business, and maybe they don't have any confidence around business, and it's seeping into their confidence as a provider in general. And they go into that treatment room, and it's pretty evident that this person is just not confident right now, right? Is that sound accurate, maybe?
Absolutely. And I do think the only solution there is to either get that person some wins or get them around someone who's getting regular wins, so that they can look and be like, look, there's something I'm not doing, but it can be done. Believing that right there is enough, right? If they can just see that and be like, it's not a mystical ghost, like this can work. I just need to learn something that I don't currently know. As long as they believe that, we'll get them to the finish line.
I love that. It kind of reminds me of a concept I learned, and I can never remember the book. At some point, I'm going to actually look it up so I can reference it appropriately, but skill stacking, right? The idea of skill stacking. And I think that goes unnoticed as we progress, right? So I'm 20 years out of graduating chiropractic school. And when I graduated, I didn't have a lot of skills, right? I had a skill of being a chiropractor to pass boards and to get a job. And I had to really refine that skill, and it takes time. And looking back on it, I feel like I did the right thing. I really focused on my clinical really strongly for the first 5 years. And yep. I did a lot longer after that, but I was all in. Then I was like, you know what? I had to build a practice, you know, a couple years into it. And so I was out in the community, and I was doing public speaking and doing all kinds of different things out in the community. So it built a skill of communication and kind of overcoming my fears a little bit. And then I opened up my own practice and realized like things were really going good, and then insurance got bad and I had to figure that out. And I'm a member of Strategic Coach. If you've heard of that, they're an entrepreneur coaching group. And I needed to really get that skill of being an entrepreneur, which is a kind of multi-layer one. That kind of led me into marketing and learning that. So yep. I kind of just was stacking these skills. And and is that something that you see some of the best leaders do, is like, okay, maybe they're coming out strong with a couple things, but then they're always willing to learn and develop new skills that they can then package into a whole product as a person?
You know, it's funny. I think when people look at ultra successful people, you know, whether it's that doctor whose waiting list is just, you know, 3 months long, no matter where he or she goes, they tend to feel that person has an extraordinary talent. And I almost find that's never the case. They just have a tremendous amount of micro talents that summate into an incredible human product. That's what it is. They have done, like you said, interpersonal skills, manual therapy skills, business skills. In, even inside of those, there's so many niches. But they just keep adding one more thing they're competent at. And the summation of all of that is extraordinary. But it's not the individual things that are extraordinary. They are basic competencies. There's just more inside of that person because they've done the work to create that. And then the synergy of all of that comes together looking like quite the extraordinary product. And so yeah. I think that, I hope people hear that, because if you think it's the other one, if you think like someone just has a crazy gift or whatever, that's a little bit disheartening, because it's like, well, maybe I don't have that gift. But when you realize that these exceptional people are really just people that took the time and had the discipline to truly earn a long range of symbiotic talents and gain those skills, that's the outcome. Anybody can do that, and anybody includes you.
Let's take a short break from today's episode to tell you about the best decision I've made in my clinic in the last 10 years, and that has been adding shockwave therapy to our clinic. The outcomes have been really impressive. Certain conditions we were struggling with in the past, we're now seeing results with the shockwave therapy for that. And second of all, the ROI has been really good. You know, when you make a big investment in something, you want to see a return. And we're seeing that return in clinical outcomes and in our investment. And that's been really nice to see. I chose Keenest Medical for four reasons. One is the technology is top-notch. You have to have great technology. There's a lot out there that isn't quite up to snuff. The second thing is they have a really good clinical training. They have an exclusive partnership with Academy of Shockwave Excellence so that you can become clinically proficient in shockwave. You do need to get skilled at it. I think that's a big differentiator between practices that are getting great results and seeing the ROI, is they have a great clinical aspect to that as well. So you want to get trained appropriately. Third is they have in-house service team for all of your technical support, which is key when you're investing in a machine like this. And then lastly, they have a very in-depth marketing and business support for you so that you can launch this into your practice effectively, that you can get that ROI on it, that you can get the clinical outcomes. And they also have really good financing options if you need that. So go to kinasmedical.com, KINASmedical.com, mention MCM podcast and receive a free shockwave in practice book with a purchase of a unit. So that's kinasmedical.com, KINASmedical.com, and mention MCM podcast.
I think that's one of the misconceptions of leadership, is people just only think of the charismatic leader, right? Yeah. That, you know, they wake up and they're, you know, dripping in charisma when they, you know, and they walk out of bed. Yep. And there's people like that. I mean, it'd be nice, right? I'd love if I had that. But I think one of the things that I had to develop over time as it pertains to confidence in my own leadership was that it comes in different packages. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just mean that you are, you know, a charismatic leader. That, yeah, that's nice. But there's a lot of quiet leaders. There's a lot of people that are, you know, like you said, some of the characteristics of discipline and, you know, maybe grit and stuff like that will also be really good forms of leadership. And so I think that's been the journey I've been on, is getting comfortable in my own skin on what my leadership style looks like and how that works, right? Have you noticed that with some people, like there's just, you know, different leadership styles and there's no way of like plugging in into one thing?
Well, I think what's so important about that discussion right there is, especially for your audience members who are looking to build like serious teams. Like, and I only say serious from a sense of scale. Like, it's one thing, a person can be a great leader and have, you know, five or six folks that are working with them or under them. I don't like the term under them, but you know what I mean? In a hierarchy of that nature. But if you're looking to expand where you're going to have a team of 25 or 50 or even beyond that, the one leader solves all doesn't work. Because what you really need is a group of leaders that are different kinds of leaders. Mm-hmm. You do need the charismatic leader. That person's generally going to be able to inspire. They're going to be a visionary. There's a lot to be said for that person. But that person is not worth their weight in anything if they aren't supported by a leader who is more logistically oriented and maybe a bit more realistic. And maybe, you know, some of the, then we need a great communicator. Like there are, as you begin to develop serious organizations, you need to have your eye out for a blend of leadership that is, you know, more a whole than the sum of its parts, if you will. And that's what too, somebody who's looking for leadership in that company can identify in those different people what they need right then. That can't happen if you're one person. So I really want folks, if you're thinking about going big, you really need to think about architecting a team that has a variety of those leadership styles, because that really, if you're looking to create something special, that is a requirement.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think about, we joke around, we have a mastermind group, and I'll talk about the East group for right now, but you know, I lead that group. But then Kurt Kippenberger, who's one of our associate coaches, is kind of my right hand for that. And he's a lot more fun than I am. He's got that charisma. He's got that magnetism to him. And it really helps with managing that room of 25 doctors. And so it's yep. you need that sometimes.
Yeah. And you've got to be humble enough to seek your opposite. And that's one reason a lot of leaders ceiling out is if you're a leader and you're working with a really talented person who has shared vision and shared interest, common goals, and they're kind of annoying for you to work with, you should really consider working with that person more, right? Because the odds are they're bringing something into your ecosystem that you probably need and a gap you probably have. So I always tell leaders to seek their opposite, right? You've got you covered. Now you need to look at where are my gaps and how can I hire them and the allies I bring alongside me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm even noticing that a little bit with our doc here. There's two docs in our practice and we're really in a good phase right now. And Dr. Gage is very systems based, which is awesome. And it's ironic because I preach systems a lot and try to teach it to our clients, but I'm just not good at actual systems and implementing it, but having someone that is has really helped and noticing a difference with that. So sometimes you got to be honest with your weak links, right?
I love that. I love the humility you say that with, because that goes so far of like, I see so many people not wanting to admit they're weak in an area. Mm-hmm. And so they grind like crazy to get mediocre in an area where they're not gifted. And it's like, boy, if you would just hire out your weaknesses, you could do so much more for so many people if you would stop this obsession with doing it all, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's been the, an honest moment in the struggle of like coaching chiropractors like I do, is that it's impossible for any chiropractor that's, let's say, coaching someone on all things to have a successful practice to be good at all those things. And I would be like, God, am I really teaching on this subject or talking to this chiropractor about this subject when I'm really actually shitty at it? I think the thing is I'm in a position where I get to interview people like yourself, where I can kind of collect and catalog really good ideas and lessons from that. And I can convey that to a client and say, okay, I may not be the best at this, but I know this is what you need to do, because I've talked to people that have done this successfully, and there are certain people that have that unique ability, right?
Yep, absolutely. That's it. What did Einstein say? You don't have to know everything if you know where to find it. That idea, that's it, right? Like there's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, you're asking me something that I know if I was in your shoes, I would not be able to execute at an awesome level. I can get you going in the right direction and I can sure as hell find you the next person that's going to bring you to the finish line. I can get you those resources. And being a resource dealer, at the end of the day, how connected you are, how many folks are talking to you. Oh, that right there. You don't need to have the skills, but you got to know where they live.
I like that term, resource dealer. I'm writing that down. You got a bunch of those. Are you from the South originally?
No, I'm from the opposite. I'm from Upper Peninsula, Michigan, up by Lake Superior. Really small town up by Canada.
All right. A lot of people from the South have all these great quips. Yeah. And so last little topic, and you can punt it if you want to, because it's a little bit of a sidebar, but I'm sure you'd see it and deal with it a lot. And that's kind of the overwhelm and burnout of things, like where, you know, a young provider or even not a young provider just doesn't see the forest through the trees on how they'll be able to develop certain skills that they will be able to overcome that. It feels really hard right now. But it doesn't mean it's always going to be that hard. And sometimes when you're uncomfortable, it means you're growing. It doesn't mean you're facing overwhelm and burnout. And I do believe there's a lot of people that actually, you know, they do suffer from that or deal that, or they're coming up against that. And I know healthcare is really hard. It's tricky because we deal with people all the time that are in pain and they're struggling, and we have a level of empathy towards them. And then we have to also go home to our families and our kids. And we like, there's a lot on our plates. I do get that. But I think like a lot of things, a lot of people get a little uncomfortable, and then they're basically equating it to having a condition. And again, I'm not saying that to discount the people that actually are dealing with that, but I just think it's okay to be uncomfortable and overcoming that and learning to overcome that or solve those problems is going to get you further. And you will learn how to address that to where you don't face burnout, because it kind of going back to what we said earlier, if you had no problems and everything, every day was easy, like you're probably not doing anything, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of your thoughts on helping people, you know, understand where they are, if it's getting to that point, or some strategies around it, ideas, anything around that?
The biggest thing I tell people is stop trying to do it alone, right? We always talk about, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Like that phrase is near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. And especially in the burnout phase, because what you need to be in is a system where, because at the beginning of your career, you're not supposed to be where you want to be, right? Yes. You're supposed to know where you want to go, but the beginning is never the optimal circumstance, right? And we take that on knowingly. However, mm-hmm. you do want concrete examples and guides that you believe are going to eventually get you where you're trying to go. And so being in a system where you're working with people that have the life that you're ready to earn, right? And you're willing to go through some troughs to get there, but you also know they're going to help you. This is right back to the same conversation about having folks set examples of really over-delivering for patients so that you can see you're going to be there one day. The same is true for life in work-life balance, or however you want to use nomenclature around that. You got to be in systems where the more senior folks, you're like, gosh, I want to be there one day. And they say, I want to get that person here one day. And they're making vested commitments to you so that they're bringing you along and helping decrease friction on the journey. It will not be easy, but if you know it's possible because you see it every day and that person's pulling you along, it won't happen overnight, but you trust it'll happen. I think that not believing it's ever going to happen, or not having a great example or someone showing you the staircase, that's when the overwhelm gets you. It's not supposed to be easy, but to not have a map makes it feel impossible. Have a map, and that's your crew.
That's a big point. I was actually having a conversation with my associate, and also we have a PT group that rents for me here, and they're both, you know, late 20s, and I'm 45, and I love being 45. You know, it's just like, it's not easy. It's a little achier than at 27 and stuff like that, but I feel good about, okay, you know what? Not that I'm settling by any stretch, but I got across that chasm into a certain level of, okay, this career has turned out well for me.
Totally.
And I said, the hard part is when you are 27, 28 is, for the most part, you probably don't know yet if this is going to work out. It's like you're going and it's dark out there and you don't know where you're going and you're hoping that you find the path. And, but I try to explain to them as like, look, you know, you guys are doing a lot of the right stuff. And that is at 26, 7, 28, the success is the fact that you are doing the right things, in my opinion, right? Like, yeah, we'd all like to have more money. We like to have more of this, that, or whatever. But at a certain age, when you're younger, the success is the process and you're sticking to it and having that belief that you're going to get there. And I love how you kind of phrase that. If at any point, if you're listening to this and you're dealing with it, maybe you just aren't seeing that path, or maybe you don't have the right mentors, like you said earlier, and you need to find that. And a lot of times that can help you overcome it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope members hear that, because the burnout thing is real. I mean, it's prevalent. It's out there. It's a real challenge. But if you're grinding, like you just said, like that 27, 28, I love that age, is so fun to observe. Like I said, I'm mid 40s too. So I feel the same way you do. I had a great mentor one time tell me that if you work hard when you're 25 to 35, you'll play for the rest of your life. If you play when you're 25 to 35, you're going to work hard for the rest of your life. And for those that are out there 25 to 35 and you feel like you're grinding, I think that you're setting yourself up for a really enjoyable. It never gets easy. We don't want it easy. We want to keep being shaped by life, right? But it gets awfully enjoyable as you begin to crest that 35 to 40 age. And all of a sudden, you're doing a lot of things that are elective and that mean a lot to you. And that phase is coming if you can just get through the storm.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about when you do get to our age and when you do have what's unique, I think also is we have two levels of schooling, right? Obviously the high school stuff too, but let's just take you like your undergrad. I have a bunch of undergrad friends and then I got a bunch of chiropractic school friends, right? So you probably have a lot of undergrad friends, a lot of PT school friends. And
you
got two different dichotomies of careers, obviously. But I can look back in the ones, in particular, the undergrad friends, because I was like, if you ended up going to PT or chiropractic school, you're probably a level-headed dude and you probably kind of like worked hard, but obviously not every chiro and PT are where they want to be in their mid 40s. But I look at some of my undergrad friends who are now 45 and they just dicked around for so long. And now they're just in careers that like it paid the bills for a while. Now it's not paying the bills, or it's like they hate it, or they're getting laid off in corporate America and they're struggling. And that's a hard place to be. So it's much easier to struggle when you're younger and put in the hard work. And like you said, you'll be able to really enjoy the fruits of that work. And again, not that it's easy, but it you have a level of really satisfaction, I think, in what you're doing.
Your autonomy only increases. Part of the reason the early years are hard is you're in that phase where you're doing what you have to. You don't have a lot of elective with your time. And in any way, you don't have a big enough patient following that you can set your ideal hours and people will fit your hours, right? Like you've got to meet them where they're at. But just know that with every passing year, that softens every year. And so pretty soon you're like, man, I'm still working a lot, but that's great because I love it. And I love what I do and I love the results of it. But I'm also doing it a bit more on my terms. And I think as you begin to feel that, the energy of your life really kind of gets more exciting, I think, in a lot of ways. And so again, if you're like, if the weight of the world's on your shoulders, it doesn't stay there.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it does get easier, especially when you keep on learning and you keep on learning from mentors. And so, Jeff, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'd love to give you an opportunity to tell where they can find you both, you know, whether they want to learn on the clinical side or if they want to see what you got going on at Onward. How can they find you on each platforms?
Yeah, you bet. So on the clinical education side, just go to ptonice.com. We own every domain that has the words, you know, Institute of Clinical Excellence in it, but that one tends to be the most direct route for most people. Everything's on there. You know, you can download our app, which makes it easier. So we have an ICE Physio app. So you can go on Android iTunes or iStore and get the iPhone app or get the Android app. That has our whole community. So like all of our online courses, all of our live courses, we have tons of free resources. We've got, you know, communities that we share things in. We've got book clubs, marathon clubs. We've got a big community in there. So jump in there and you just kind of mix it up with us and you'll see all the options we have available. And then over at onwardphysicaltherapy.com, if you want to go there and look at where all the clinics are, kind of, you know, where can you jump on board? Where don't we have one, right? If you ever want to be involved and think about planting the flag somewhere, those are all really good spots to kind of connect with us.
Yeah, and I want to challenge my audience, you know, most of them are chiropractors, but a lot of them do a lot of rehab now. And that's great. Totally. And that's where, you know, Ashley and Brittany got so much out of going to your trainings there. And they've been to multiple, which has been awesome. And then also maybe you just need to find a good PT clinic to refer to, because I know we refer to PT often when it's just something that we don't do in-house. Obviously, post-surgical we don't do. Or if they really need a level of, you know, we could sit here and talk about an hour on who could really use great PT, especially the advanced level PT, right? Return to sport and things like that. So if there's a gap in what you offer, check out, see if there's one of your clinics there. Onward is where you'd look at that. And so cool to see hopefully we get you on here again and maybe have you come out to one of our masterminds one year. And we bring in guest presenters and, you know, we pay and do all that stuff. And so, but I'd love to see the growth that you got going on here after another couple years.
Yeah, I'd love to circle back. I'd love to join you all live, whatever makes sense on your end.
Cool, Jeff. Well, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And if you want to make the shift from busy, broke, and broken to time-free and cash-confident, or you just want to continue with the exponential growth, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com. Look at the MCM Mastery tab, watch the short video on there, and check out what we are doing now for evidence-informed chiropractors. We are equal parts coaching and marketing done for you. Yes, you shoot some videos, we help you with campaign strategies and ideas and really become a thought leader in your community. You shoot those videos, you send them to us, we produce, edit, and brand them to you. Then we distribute them through all of your channels. We also take them and we turn it into one good blog per month. And every other month, we have Darcy Sullivan producing a robust blog with a topic that you pick from her database to help with your SEO. So we essentially become your content marketing agency to make sure your practice is always having ethical, elegant content marketing to help grow your practice. On the coaching side, we also help you with everything from marketing ideas to business, communications, finances, anything practice growth. And really try to help prevent you from being stuck on that island. And we hold you accountable. We have a great group of doctors that are just doing amazing things. And we look forward to help you out to take that next step in your practice. So again, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com and learn more.